time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How you doing? Oh, that sounds amazing.
David, this playoff race is tight. It can't get any tighter if it wanted to.
It's super tight. Like Kobe on game night. That's it for that.
All right. Well, this has been the Hive O'Clock Alarm. Now, let's recap what happened last night. Three of the four teams in this tight Eastern Conference playoff race, the three teams not named the Charlotte Hornets, played last night.
Right.
Brooklyn at Miami, the Heat win 110-99. Atlanta at Chicago. Chicago gave it a go, made a run at it in the fourth quarter, but the Hawks win 102-100. Finally, Boston at the Los Angeles Clippers. That was a game that was way too late for my bedtime, but the Clippers win.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, NBA. The Clippers win 114-90.
Who do you think you are, the Final Four of the NBA tournament?
Really? Come on. It's ridiculous. Well, see, at least the NBA has the decency to say, okay, it's at Los Angeles, so maybe we should put it at a time when Los Angeles can view the game with their families.
You don't think it makes sense to, like, say for the Hornets when they come back home to tip off around 10 o'clock?
Yeah, exactly. That would make sense. Anywho. to Emmert, to old Emmert.
Yeah. Ooh, Emmert.
Okay.
I can't get the ratings. We know.
We need someone at 10 o'clock. Okay, let's look at the Eastern Conference.
That's what we think. That's what we think executives sound like.
That's our impression of Mark Emmert. For more, check out our one-man show, Mark Emmert, Late Night Games. Eastern Conference standings. Atlanta sitting at the top in the, excuse me, in the third seed, 45-30. Miami, a full game back from Atlanta in the fourth seed. In the fifth seed, Boston at 43-31, and Charlotte still in the sixth seed at 42-31. David, what's the best case scenario in your mind for the Hornets? I mean, is it realistic to think that they could catch this red hot Atlanta team in the third seed? What's the best case scenario?
Yeah, I was going to say it really feels like four is the best case. Just with those two games separating the Hawks and the Hornets right now, it just feels like a lot. And, you know, it doesn't look like that many, but or that much more even than the Heat. But that just seems like a stretch, especially given how the Hawks are playing right now. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, they're, 9-1 in their last 10 games. So they've kind of taken that. Yeah, they've kind of taken that mantle from the Hornets. Not that the Hornets have diffed a great deal, but the Hawks are playing really well right now. Feels like they're going to be tough to catch, especially we mentioned all the tiebreakers and whatnot. So it feels like fourth, which would, hey, I mean, still be home court advantage. I mean, to be honest, it feels like that's going to be tough in and of itself. But I think four is where they want to shoot for realistically right now.
Yeah, you know, several weeks ago when we were examining this situation, we were like Nelson from The Simpsons, looking at Atlanta, going, they have the toughest schedule of these four teams. And then Atlanta just starts playing the absolute, I would say they're playing the best ball in the Eastern Conference, not just of these four teams, but I think they're playing better than Toronto and Cleveland now, and it all starts with their defense. And I got a chance to watch most of that Atlanta at Chicago game, and it's not just the guys up front, Teague, but you have Bazemore playing well defensively, and it's really Horford and Millsap. The way those guys can move defensively and cover large portions of the court and still recover to their man, it presents some real challenges if you're trying to execute whatever offense you want to execute, and it makes it difficult to shoot threes, which should be, you know, a warning sign to the Hornets that, you know, when they get into the playoffs, it could be a different kind of ball game than they've been used to seeing. So I think best case scenario for the Hornets, I'm a little more pessimistic than you are, David. I think fifth seed. I think if Boston is not playing their best basketball right now and they have a head-to-head matchup against Boston excuse me, in a week or so. So I really think that they could overtake Boston and just, you know, when Boston, when they go to Boston, they can tell them to ease on down 85 and check out Atlanta in the playoffs. That would be nice. Send them to the sixth seed. Charlotte gets the fifth seed. And I think they are fully equipped to win an away series against the Miami Heat. So that's my best case scenario.
And that would mean avoiding the Hawks in the first round too, right? Which, as we've mentioned, with all the play they've had thus far, would not be a bad thing, I don't think, for the Hornets. I mean, facing the Hawks right now, you know, 9-1's the best record in the NBA over the last 10 games. The Warriors have done the same, so they're playing well.
And Atlanta has a chance on Wednesday to pull within 3 games of Toronto. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto has to start watching their back, and that will be an important game for the Raptors. But it's odd that Charlotte probably has a decent shot, unless Boston goes on a real run of overtaking Boston for that fifth seed. But Boston, really the only team of the top six, or really the top eight, that the Hornets haven't proven that they can beat, because they've beaten Cleveland. They've beaten Toronto.
Played horrible against Boston.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's going to be a key game. Major keys.
Well, without Jay Crowder, who I believe, I don't think they have a timetable for. I don't think Boston has a timetable for Jay Crowder still as we speak this morning. So they are, they're 500 their last 10 games here. So without him, I think that's a big blow to that team. And so they're slipping a little bit, but they've still got the little guy, Isaiah Thomas. So still a formidable team, and of course the Wizard, Brad Stevens.
And another reason why I think best case scenario is the 5 seed is because if you look at Miami's schedule, which I will quickly pull up on the computer. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Give me a second. I'll cut
this. Old computer.
It's one of those big machines that just prints out a series of zeros and ones.
It fills up your whole room.
Right, exactly. It takes up my entire condo. Let's see. So they've got the Lakers, Kings. Those should be easy victories for Miami. Trailblazers, Pistons, Bulls. Bulls are playing like bull excrement. 2 games against the Magic, and then another game against the Pistons, and then they close out with the Celtics. So there are a lot of winnable games in that schedule for Miami. So I think, you know, Miami's got some cupcakes. The Hornets have some cupcakes. They could finish out the year with the same record over the next 9 games or so, and that would leave them just short of Miami or possibly even tied with Miami. But as we've said, Miami with really the inside track on that tiebreaker versus the Hornets. So I think if you climb into that fifth seed, and I think that Clifford, I don't know the exact stat. Listen, folks, that's not my job to know the exact stat. But I believe Clifford mentioned in a press conference that the fifth seed has possibly a winning record in the last few years over the fourth seed. So
I remember him saying something like that. And that's the kind of detail that you're going to get on the 5 o'clock alarm.
Listen, not at 6:48 in the morning. I'll tell you some trends, but that's about all you're getting. So I think the Hornets have a really good shot if they're in the fifth seed against Miami, a team that I honestly feel like, well, for the Miami's hurting right now. They are down to Josh Richardson at point guard, who is playing extremely well. But you wonder here's what I wonder with Miami. Are you ready for this, David? Here's what I wonder.
Yeah.
So you got Josh Richardson, a rookie, who's playing really well for them right now. And you have Justice Winslow, who I'm just now learning how to pronounce his name. Right. He's playing really well for them right now on the defensive end. Okay, mm-hmm. They go to the playoffs. Now all of a sudden you're depending on two rookies in the playoffs. That could be a point of weakness.
It's not ideal, and especially without Bosch, that's the biggest thing, I think, for that team. So Richardson is now starting, but he was part of that short little bench crew with he, Winslow, and Whiteside coming off the bench, right, that was making so much noise.
Right, and now with Goran Dragic hurting, Richardson moves into the starting Right, and they'll probably be relatively healthy as we move into playoff time. But I just think, I don't know, for some reason, the Hornets have played really well against the Heat this season, and I think it's a good matchup. I think it's the best.
Well, you'd rather.
It's the best matchup of the opportunities they have.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you don't want to play the Hawks right now. And, of course, that's who the Hornets are lined up with. But to me, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they're playing well, but is that how you're feeling? You'd rather avoid the Hawks?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because they do things defensively that, I mean, look, there's a whole other conversation about, can the Hornets play playoff basketball? Because there's an argument to be made that as well as they've done this season, they're playing a, you know, regular season style of basketball where the game slows down, it moves into the half court a majority of the time. There's not a lot of up and down. The three-point shooting can suffer in the playoffs because, again, defenses are going to play their A game every single night. So, you know, can the Hornets play that style of basketball? That's a great question to examine possibly tonight on our live show. That's called a tease. So, yeah,
We also should note, Doug, we're talking playoffs here. With that Bulls loss last night, the Hornets' number is down to. It's down to three. So,
three is a magic number.
Combination of Hornets wins or Bulls losses that add up to three starting tonight. So with a win in Philadelphia, you could cut that number to two, which would be fun. And, you know, throw another Bulls loss in there and another Hornets win on Friday against the Sixers. And, you know, we can tie a bow in this thing by weekend.
Rick Bunnell of the Charlotte Observer, the Charlotte Hornets switch up the beat writer, is a little worried. He says he's more on Twitter. He said he's more worried that the Hornets could fall to the seventh seed than hopeful that they could move up to the fourth seed. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, as we said, the fourth seed feels like a reach. So I guess if you're talking about which one is more likely, the dropping to the seventh makes sense. But it feels like they're just kind of going to stay where they are, doesn't it? If nothing else, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not concerned about them moving down to the seventh.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah, if you're in there, I think getting in is job one. Okay, that's great. And then, you know, if you're not fourth, you know, if you don't have home court, does it really matter, 5, 6, 7 at this point?
It would be unfortunate if they do get the sixth seed and have to play Atlanta because mm-hmm. we've seen so many times the Hornets over the years and then the Bobcats slip into a seed late in the regular season that makes them play LeBron, whether it be the Cavs or the Heat. And now they're playing really well, and they could slip into the sixth seed and play the hottest team in the East, Atlanta, and avoid playing Toronto, a team that they've matched up decently with in the seventh seed. So that would be a bit of, I know the people who
do you think we may see some shenanigans, lineup shenanigans, if they get in there?
No. I think they could beat Atlanta. I'm not saying I don't think that it would be a 4-0
sweep.
They're
playing the Warriors.
No, I mean there are weaknesses. Yeah. Look, Atlanta has they showed something last night against Chicago that they've shown a lot this season, which is fourth quarter execution. There are weaknesses that we can examine, and don't you worry, we'll examine them.
We will
on Hive Talk Live.
I'm just flipping through Rick Bunnell's Twitter here, so I'm gonna yank a couple of these from him.
God bless you.
The Celtics' next three: at Clippers, at Blazers, at Warriors. Of course, I guess the Clippers were last night, so at Blazers, at Warriors coming up. And then the other thing we should note: he doesn't expect them to fall to seventh, but that would be his worry, I guess.
If you were going to pick between the two, I think he was saying.
Yes. Yes.
If you're going to make me choose, I don't think anyone was making him choose, but if you're going to make me choose, hey, speaking of Rick Bunnell, a few savvy listeners have sent us a few more sweet Bunnell burns.
Oh, some listener feedback. Some
it's
listener
sweet. It's sweet, but it's spicy, just like I like my Asian food, sweet and spicy. Benell Burns. So we should do another segment tonight. So if you like that segment, we could revisit that tonight. We have a few other drops that David has provided. So tune in for that tonight. As well, I want to continue breaking down Atlanta, Boston, and Miami. I think it's interesting. And, you know, the NBA has been so gracious to give the Hornets two games against the Sixers, which a little less fun to talk about. So maybe we'll take a deeper dive into those three teams tonight. So listen, 6 p.m., get your NBA scouting hats on, and join us for Hive Talk Live on HiveTalkLive.com. Thanks for listening. Until then, follow us on Twitter, by the way, at Hive Talk Live, and because we tweet while we do the show. We're multitaskers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Three hands. That's our philosophy. I don't know what that means. All right, listen tonight. Until then, all hail.